No man lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. We must think of others.
In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again about the happy child. Yesterday, I read to you 5 rules for getting obedience and having happy children, which were sent to me by my old history teacher, Miss Hill, who is now retired, and her mother, Mrs. Hill, has gone to be with the Lord. But Miss Hill sent me these rules, and I felt that they were every bit as relevant today as they were back when she wrote them, and back at the beginning of this century when she drew up this set of rules for her 4 children. So here are some more. No one in our house shouted at anyone about anything at any time. But even that needs a warning. This is rule number 1 for today. I gave you 5 yesterday. I'm going to give you 5 today. No shouting. But even that needs a warning. Only recently, our oldest told me how grateful she has been that the tent gang, an acquired designation when about 5, 7, 9, and 11, never were subjected to parental arguments, jokingly called amicable disagreements. One memoir serves to emphasize the point. Apparently the head of the house and Mama had become over-enthusiastic about something and had unconsciously raised their voices. Suddenly from our 3-year-old darling in her high chair, with tears so near, came the pleading cry, "Daddy, love Mama. Mama, love Daddy." Such a heartfelt cry had to be taken seriously. Not until we had assured our tot that her daddy and mama were not cross, then, and not until then, did we venture a laugh to ease the others who had refrained from chiding us for talking too loud. What a lesson for parents. Sometime before that incident, the other son had completed that hoped-for quartet of 2 daughters and 2 sons. Number 3 always said, "We never had a chance to be spoiled." The Midnight Express arrived at 6 degrees above zero the day after Christmas. You don't have to imagine what it meant to that household to have a well-behaved trio that loved the new baby, to say nothing of giving Grandma and the part-time helpers no bother. Incidentally, the bedtime call at 7:30 operated smoothly, regardless of who called it, as also the call to lunch when playing outdoors. So this brings us to Mrs. Hill's 2nd principle for today. Children come when called. The bedtime call operated smoothly, even though the parents were not there, and also the call to lunch. The 3rd rule, observing table amenities. "Perhaps this is the place to mention one result of observing the table amenities," she writes. "A helper preparing lunch for the trio grumbled at the family routine, to which the 6-year-old daughter advised her, 'Our mama does the same for us as she does for our daddy.' That involved sitting at the dining room table for nearly all meals." Then the rest of this sentence brings us to rule number 4, a brief Bible reading and prayer at the evening one. So they were sitting at the dining room table for all meals with a brief Bible reading and prayer at the evening one. Surprised? Yes, through high school days, no absentees, and still appreciated after 50 years. Now, to me, that's proof of what a happy and peaceful home it must have been. And this next story she tells corroborates that. When baby number 4 had adjusted to a somewhat unusual start in life, and now at 4 months lay peacefully asleep in his carriage, Little sister came rushing in from outdoor play, screaming, "Grasshoppers, grasshoppers, all over me, all over me!" With that, the dear baby nearly woke up and joined the concert. Question? Two little precious ones in need of immediate comfort, and only one pair of hands. Mama gave up on the grasshoppers and picked up the baby, really terrified in such a racket. Then, for the first and only time, she called the nearest neighbor. Relieved of the baby, the young lady and I went to the playroom where all the garments were removed and turned wrong side out to prove no grasshoppers. The crying quit, but not the scare. Clothes? No, indeed, no. Finally, the hopeless chase ended with all fresh clothing from upstairs. The climax to that incident followed the neighbor's remark, "Mrs. Hill, I had no idea you have so much to do. You really do need help." With only 50 feet of lawn between our homes, my trio need no comment. Can you imagine that the neighbor had no idea that she really needed such help? She probably didn't even realize that she had 4 children next door. Then she gives some very interesting comments on how to deal with fear. Up until now, there had been no evidence of fear on the part of the older children. So it came as a real surprise when I returned one day to have May report that the 3 had come into the playroom, closed the door, and crawled under their table in the corner. The reason? The old man, who came along often with his warning, heard a block or more away, "Here comes the old rag man! Here comes the old rag man!" A junk cart, a skinny horse, a whip, and a big floppy hat with a wide blue band boasting big bows also flopping did present a rather awesome picture, plus maybe 200 pounds of flesh. I told May not to be upset, but I thanked her for telling me as part of her duties. Next time I heard, "Here comes the old rag man," I had already put some papers aside to give him so he would need to come to the basement. As he took care of that, I called to the trio, who had left their play outdoors and gone to their playroom, to come down the steps to the basement. Back to rule number 2, blessed obedience. It works. They came when called. Meantime, I had briefed the jolly old fellow, and he took over as they stayed on the steps. "I like little boys and girls, I sure do," on and on as he searched through his change for 3 shiny pennies. I could feel little sister's tenseness when I told them to thank the man and shake hands with him. The old man said goodbye and continued with his advance warning. The trio returned to their outdoor play with whatever fears they had picked up, somehow completely removed. Especially in a day when psychology hadn't reached the everyday vocabulary, the foundation of the rules for myself may have been laid when my naturally practical mind decided that children necessarily would someday be adults. I'm still reading from Mrs. Hill's paper, but isn't that charming? The realization that children necessarily will someday be adults. We forget that, don't we? Why not gradually acquire traits or habits that will later prove helpful to them, and meanwhile help to maintain a wholesome atmosphere in the home? Frankly, they amazed many in the process, including even their mama at times, but surely it contributed to our having so many of our city friends visit us in the suburbs. By now you're thinking, all that sounds too good to be true even at home. What about away from home? Take church. We had no junior church services, no babysitters. Until number 4 had 3 birthdays, Daddy and Mama alternated at the morning service. After that, we could take all 4, 3, 5, 7, and 9. No books to scribble in and annoy others. No crackers. Bible reading and prayer at home meant sit still and listen. And may I put in my own parenthesis here, we had the same thing in our home. Having to sit still, sit up, not play with things, not be squirming around in our seats, during family devotions was good practice for sitting up and sitting still and not squirming in church. Mrs. Hill says we could take our quartet anywhere without any concern of embarrassment. They were ladies and gentlemen. As a family, we found the welcome mat always out for all 6 of us. To strengthen the argument for my rules, alone I could take all 4 to the city by electric train and subway that included quite a few steps. Big sister held little sister by the hand, big brother could care for himself, and Mama had little brother. On one trip with little sister just past three, to have a photo taken, a distinguished-looking gentleman sat down beside her on the way home. Soon they were chatting like old friends, and eventually my little lady was asked, "Do you have any brothers and sisters?" "Yes, sir, I have two brothers and one sister." And then turning to me, "And this is my mama, Mrs. Hill." What else could she do? I looked up to be polite, but the other party, too amused to keep a straight face, turned his head the other way. However, leaving before we did, this fine gentleman had regained his natural courtesy, turned at the exit, smiled, tipped his derby hat, and made a little bow. What more can be said? Maybe no slammed doors should be included. No jumping down the stairs. We didn't do either, and only recently did I learn that Daddy had taught them to turn the knob forward before opening the door. Now, all of those things fit under the heading of courtesy. Let me go back to Mrs. Hill's five rules for today. No shouting. Number two, come when you're called. Number three, table manners. Number four, Bible reading and prayer. Number five, courtesy. In church, on the train, at home, and to the neighbors. No slammed doors, no jumping on stairs. Those are just simple matters of courtesy. Teach your children what Paul said. No man lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. We must think of others. May God help you to have a peaceful home and happy children for His glory.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.